Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Tonight, talking about thanksgiving and prayer. Philippians chapter 4. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Of the Bible, and that we can open up and see your wonderful truths. I pray you now be with the pastor as he speaks and tries to draw out these truths and show us what you've laid upon his heart to speak tonight. And Lord, I pray for our country, Lord, that they would be a thankful people once again, acknowledging you as Lord and Savior, as God, a giver of every true and perfect good gift, Lord. And Lord, we're just confess tonight that we need you, we need forgiveness, and we're so thankful that you continue to love us. And your love is so enduring and patient for us, and we just thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins and cleansing us. Let's pray just bless our time together tonight now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for what? Nothing, but in what? Everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, ever since the election, whenever I try to read the news or look at the news, it's like, to me, it's like a roller coaster. I have to just get in the Word of God and be blessed, because it's so troubling what's happening all around in our country. But tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and we have so much for which we should be thankful. But how often are we like the nine lepers? Notice in Luke 17, if you would. Luke 17 and verse 12. Luke 17 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And what? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." How often are we like the 9 lepers? It makes me wonder. How often does God answer our prayers, but we don't go back to thank him? I think when we have a problem in not coming back to thank the Lord, I think it's often because we are not specific enough in our prayers. There are so many times today that a Christian's day can go just as lousy as an unsaved person's day. But you know, that shouldn't be the case if we are in prayer. That should not be the case. But how many tasks do we start in a day and never pray first and then end up getting frustrated? I mean, we can start out the day in the Word of God and in prayer just like what we should be doing. But by mid-morning, our day can be absolutely a nightmare. Why is that? I mean, we start out the day right, but why is it that before noon, our day can be filled with frustrations? I think oftentimes it's because we never stop to pray about every task before we start it. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In what? all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But do each of us really acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways? Are we really doing that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, Jericho was a great victory because they got instruction from God before the battle. Notice in Joshua 5, verse 13. Great victory. But the great battle plan was no man's plan, no man's idea. It was God's. In Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So he's asking him, whose side are you on? Well, verse 14, and he said what? Nay, but as what? Captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. He didn't answer which side he was on. The question is are you on my side? I'm the captain. Are you on my side? Don't ask me, Joshua, if I'm on the right side. The question is, are you on the right side? Are you? He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? That is more like it, isn't it? It's not, you know, whose side are you on? Are you going to listen to me? No, he's the captain. Are you going to listen to me? Joshua falls on his face. Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I know some of you young people, your feet are tough. You can take right off in the summertime and run across the parking lot. Me, I'd be like, ooh, ouch, 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 ouch. You know, that's what I would be like. And Joshua, when he took his shoe off, you know, when you have your shoes off, the exception is these little children. But normally when you have your shoes off, you look at every step where you're going, don't you? You're careful. So it's interesting. He asked him to take his shoes off. The place was holy. And with your shoes off, every step is important. And how true that is in our lives. Every step is important we take. So in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall what? Fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So they obey. So they get instruction from God before the battle, and it's a great victory. But the very next battle, look at chapter 7. That was a different story. Chapter 7. In verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a what? Trespass in the accursed thing. Remember, before the battle of Jericho, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, take off your shoes, for the ground is what? Holy. Holy ground. They enter the next battle not making sure they're a holy people. There's sin in the camp and they don't know it. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Who would have expected the problem in the tribe of Judah? That's where it was. Took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, what? Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. You know what the difference was here? Joshua was the leader. It was back to him. He didn't go to God for direction. He's the one giving the orders. Now, remember before, he sees the captain or the man appear before him, and then it's, you know, whose side are you on? Well, now he's back to running things. You know, we can never be back to running things, can we? We always need God's help, always need his help. So this time, verse 2, Joshua sent the men out. Verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. You know, we so take God's blessings for granted, don't we? We do. We so take his blessings for granted. And then we just think it's nothing. And that's where we get into trouble. And that's where Joshua got into trouble. So verse 4, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they what? They fled before the men of Ai. Verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them into going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. How many of Israel died in the battle at Jericho? None. But now they have a 36-man loss right to start with. We need God's help. I think that when we slack in thanking God, it's because we are not asking for God's direction and help before we start a task, just like was the problem here. You know what? If they would have gone to God, and of course then Joshua gets on his face, and God says, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. If he only would have gone first, there would not have been the loss of these six people. You know, when we ask for God's help, he will give us direction, and he'll give us help. Remember what we saw in Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look with me, please, in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If we ask for help, he'll give help. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it what? Shall be given him. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. James 1:5, if we ask for wisdom, it shall be given him. So if we're having trouble with this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, it can be real easy to have trouble with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In what? Everything give thanks. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every one of us want to be in the will of God. Well, an important part of it is right here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think sometimes we have trouble with this verse because we are not specific in our prayers, asking for specific direction. And we don't obey the previous verse. It's verse 17. And that says, pray what? Without ceasing. I think that's our trouble. I think If we are having trouble with verse 18, we're having a hard time giving thanks and everything, I think it's because we are so frustrated. And I think the reason is we are so frustrated is because we are not in everything asking for the Lord and acknowledging Him. Back in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but when is the last time you thanked God for an answer to prayer? Can you remember anything today that you thanked God for in regard to an answer to prayer? Well, when I was just leaving home, my last prayer that I thanked the Lord for was that we got right out on M57. Because I constantly acknowledge Him, Lord, if I haven't when I leave the house, if I haven't done it yet, I most often remember just as I'm pulling up to M57, and it's, Lord, I acknowledge You. I acknowledge I need Your help. Later today, I was changing the scripture sign out front, and there was just a constant stream of traffic. And so, you know, I'm wanting to get home and get finished prepared for church. And so I was just acknowledging the Lord. And you know what? He makes an opening in the traffic. And you know what I do? Thank You, Father. Thank You. And so I tell you, it's transformed my life, acknowledging the Lord in everything, because I find myself thanking the Lord all day long. And so he does answer prayer. So, but we need specific requests if we're going to be thanking Him. Because if it's just something general, we probably won't thank Him. But when you've prayed specifically and He answers it, you'll find yourself thanking God all day long. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go to Psalm 50. So you know what? Tomorrow doesn't have to be the only day of the year that we pause and thank God. It ought to be something we do all day long. And if we're not doing it all day long, then I imagine we're facing a lot of frustration. And a lot of that could be alleviated by just acknowledging God before we start all these tasks. And in Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon Me in what? The day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. Monday, we needed to change some brakes on one of the cars, and so I made the mistake of not acknowledging God when we started on that. And pretty soon I got into a hard spot, and I said to Brother Luke, I said, let's stop and pray. And it was a rebuke to me, just getting into that situation. I should have acknowledged the Lord before I ever started. But you know why? You know what the temptation was? I've done brake jobs before. And isn't that our problem? If we've done something before that we think we can handle, what do? We don't ask for God's help. And that's our mistake. And so I got into a situation which should have just been a simple, just disc brakes and putting the new pads in. I got the old pads out, but I could not get the new pads to slide in. You guys know what I'm talking about. You ladies probably, I lost you somewhere. But so these pretty tight fit, but I could not get those new brake pads to fit in there. And then on the rear ones, there was something I'd never faced. It was on the Impala, it has the emergency brake and the disc brakes are a unit together on that. And so I'm trying to use a C-clamp to push this plunger back in, and it won't budge. And so I had to get online and find out what the deal is. You just turn that in. But I had never faced that before. And it just reminded me over and over again, oftentimes what frustrates us in our lives are things that we have done many times. But for some reason, some little thing or maybe some big thing, while we're doing it, becomes a frustration. It's like, oh, what's going wrong? Well, what went wrong is we didn't acknowledge God. We didn't ask him for help. So this tells us to call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But here is another problem. When we are facing trouble, God does want us to call upon him. But for many people, this is the only time they call on him, is when they're facing trouble. The only time. And, well, that doesn't work too well, does it? A lot of trouble could be avoided if we'd go to the Lord first. Notice in Matthew 6:33. The Bible says, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we would seek him first, if we would acknowledge him in all of our ways, then we would find ourselves not being frustrated, and we could thank the Lord. Notice in Matthew 26:41. This is the chapter where Peter is warned that he's going to deny the Lord, but he fails to take heed. In verse 41, Jesus tells him, watch and what? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So much trouble would be avoided if we would pray first, if we would ask for God's help first. You know, I find myself in just the littlest thing. I can find just the littlest thing. If I do it on my own and it goes well, I just feel those rotten feelings of pride can ooze up and think, man, I did a good job. Well, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. So it's like as soon as pride rises up, we've sealed our own judgment. We've sealed our own judgment in that sense. Tonight, our country is in deep trouble. Deep trouble. We've had an election, and unless you listen to the major media, maybe you think all is well. But if you do any reading at all, you know there has been so much fraud, and it's just beginning to be brought before some legislatures, like in Pennsylvania today. It's just the tip of the iceberg. But we need God's help to bring out the truth. We need his help. And so we need to pray. We need to acknowledge that we need God. We can't depend upon even eyewitnesses. I mean, praise God for the ones that are willing to come forward and testify to the corrupt stuff they've seen. But our dependency is on God. We have one man, one of these candidates for the office of president, who has stated on the very first day, if he is indeed elected and approved, on the very first day, he's going to deal with this Mexico City policy. And let me read it for you. This is from the National Review. I quote, the incoming Biden-Harris administration has already unveiled its plan for what the new Democratic White House will do policy-wise in its early days. Unsurprisingly, among the action items is a pledge to reverse a pro-life policy that President Trump enacted and then expanded during his first year in office. The Mexico City policy, first established by President Ronald Reagan, prohibits U.S. international aid money from underwriting groups that promote or perform abortion overseas. Since President Reagan, every Republican administration has enacted the policy, and every Democratic administration has revoked it. The Biden-Harris administration will be no exception. Yes, Biden will use executive action on his first day in office to withdraw the Mexico City global gag rule, a Biden campaign spokesperson told the Washington Post during the Democratic primary campaign. Undoing the policy is among the action items in the new administration's plan for the first 100 days after inauguration. As a result of such a move, several billions of dollars in U.S. aid will once more be made available to abortion groups around the world. I mean, I don't know about you, I think I do. That's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking. Notice with me in Numbers 35, 33. The Bible says, "So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are." You know, there's so much talk about air pollution, land pollution, water pollution. You know what? None of those people talk about this. "So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it what? Defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it." You think of the millions and millions of babies that have been aborted in America. So that's what's going to happen the first day, Mr. Biden says. And then in Newsweek, it says, President-elect Joe Biden has promised to rejoin the Iran nuclear deal. Well, this would endanger Israel. One of Israel's biggest enemies is Iran. They've threatened to wipe Israel off the map. And so it would endanger Israel to join that Iran nuclear deal. Not to mention all of those people in Iran that are getting saved. And to this would give all of their evil, wicked rulers billions of dollars again, and to persecute them. Then also, in the New York Post, it says, I quote, "Joe Biden said that if elected president, he would resume U.S. aid to the Palestinians, which was revoked by the Trump administration in part because it was being used to support terrorism. Biden would also seek to reopen the Palestine Liberation Organization mission in Washington, D.C., according to a report." Well, go with me, please, to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. So what would happen under Mr. Biden? Well, he's already said his first day in office, he's going to reinstate giving billions of dollars for abortion around the world. He's going to get back in the Iran nuclear deal, giving them billions of dollars. And they've already responded to it like, "We're not even going to talk to you about it unless you give us all this huge sum of money that you owe us now for breaking the law and backing out of this." Unbelievable. They're really arrogant. But in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that what?
Bless thee.
Bless thee and what? Curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Okay, so Mr. Biden's plan is to cozy up to Iran again, whose goal is to drop nuclear bombs on Israel and obliterate them. Mr. Biden's goal is to get right back in with the Palestinians and force Israel back and make them give part of the land to the Palestinians, a land which God gave fully to Israel. So there are a lot of serious things hanging in the balance tonight. A lot of serious things. I mean, forget about all that's going on here in America. I mean, we could talk, go into depth about China. You know, for years and years, it's been on my heart why we have let China become our provider of so many goods. I remember back years ago, we had a representative named Vern Ehlers, and I wrote to him and said, you know, Mr. Ehlers, you go into the store and it seems like half of the stuff is made in China. I said, pretty soon, they're going to control us. If we want to do something, they're going to cut us off from our supply. And he says, oh, and I told him, I says, China persecutes Christians. They torture Christians. They kill Christians. I says, we shouldn't be trading with them. He wrote a letter back to me and he said, oh, don't worry. When China gets accepted in the world market, they'll realize they have to straighten up. Well, Mr. Ehlers is deceased now, and China hasn't straightened up in the least. So we could talk about that as well. But America is hanging in the balance tonight, and we need to pray. We need to pray. We need God's help. We need God's help. And let's look at 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. This thing is bigger than any man. I don't care how confident lawyers sound right now. On one side or the other, we need God's help, because there's no lawyer that's smart enough or powerful enough to make happen what we need to make happen. We need God's direct intervention and help. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If who? My people. So we don't have to get up some interdenominational prayer group. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. We need to be like Joshua. It's not like, yeah, you know, we're in charge here. Are you on my side or are you on the other side? What we need to do is, just like Joshua, we need to get on our face and humble ourselves. Shall humble themselves and pray. And what? Seek my face. Haven't we seen tonight that's why we get into trouble? That's why we get into situations where it's hard to thank God, is because we haven't sought God. Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. So this is a heart matter. Oh, God, search me. Search my heart, oh, God. Is there something in my life that's displeasing you? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. That's what we need. That's what we need. And there's just no room for pride or arrogancy. We need to spend some serious time in prayer for our nation, and which we'll do here in just a few moments. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do humble ourselves before you. Lord, we do need to be on holy ground. We need to be so careful how we step, the direction we step off in, the speed at which we are heading in that direction. Lord, every aspect of it, we need your help. Lord, we do acknowledge we need you. We know, Father, that we deserve all the judgment that's possible. We deserve a wicked, vile leader who will use money for abortion. That's what we deserve. We deserve a leader that will nuzzle up to Iran and the Palestinians. I know, Lord, that's what we deserve. We deserve your judgment. We deserve the curse of those that curse Israel. We are a wicked and a vile nation. But Father, we pray tonight for mercy. We do acknowledge you. We do seek you, Lord. Only a miracle will change the direction right now that America is running toward. We ask for your mercy, Lord. We think of Nineveh. When Jonah went to Nineveh, it was only 40 days away from total destruction. We realize America could be the same. It could be 40 days from total destruction or captivity. But Lord, you used Jonah, his preaching, to convict in the hearts of the people of Nineveh. And you spared that city for 100 more years. Father, I pray for the sake of our children and grandchildren and the generations to come, I pray, Father, that there be a great turning to you, a great repentance and revival. Lord, that you might, if you tarry your coming, be able to spare this nation another 100 years. Please speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name.